This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Healthcare costs in this country have been rising steadily for years. One of the goals of President Obama's healthcare reform package is to lower those costs over time. Researchers at George Washington University think they may have found part of the solution in community health centers, at least when it comes to cutting primary care costs. And it seems North Carolina may be a model state. A new policy research brief finds the Tar Heel State's network of community health centers significantly lowers the cost of providing health care. The study was put out last week by the Geiger Gibson RCHN Community Health Foundation Research Collaborative. Its lead author is Peter Shin. He's an associate professor of health policy and director of the Geiger Gibson program at GW and joins us by phone now. Hello, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Good to have you. And in the studio is Brian Toomey, CEO of Piedmont Health Services and board chair for the North Carolina Community Health Center Association. Brian, welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
I want to start with you, Brian, and have you define for us a community health center.
So a community health center is an entity that's locally also is known as an FQHC or Federally Qualified Health Center. To be a community health center, you have to be in a community that has you're either medically underserved area or health shortage area where people need health care they can't get access to otherwise.
Federally qualified, meaning there are some standards and particular norms that you go by.
That's right. So health centers, there's approximately 1,200 around the country. Last year, there were almost 20 million people were seen for primary care in community health centers around the country, and we do basically primary medical care, dental care, and pharmacy services.
And how are they funded, CHCs?
So health centers all get a federal grant. The average health center, the federal grant covers 20% of their costs. In our instance, it's actually 14% of costs, and the rest actually will come primarily from patient revenue.
So, and that revenue comes via sliding scale, sometimes from Medicare, Medicaid, and sometimes private health insurance, sometimes self-pay?
That's correct, all the above.
And all of that makes up, in your case, roughly 86% of your budget, the patients paying.
That's right.
All right. And Peter, you've done several studies looking at community health centers nationally. What is it about North Carolina that made it a pretty good place to look at state-level cost saving?
Well, there were a lot of things that went into play in terms of us trying to figure out which states might make a good test case. We've done sort of the national outlook using the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey to give us a broad look at what health centers bring in terms of cost savings at the national level. And so what we needed to do was to find a data source, specifically using the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, which is run out of the Centers for Disease Control Prevention. And that includes some of the behavioral risk factors and socioeconomic information at the state level so that we can adjust the national numbers to reflect what might be happening at the state. And North Carolina came to one of to be one of our choices, largely because we were doing a concurrent study for the Commonwealth Fund looking at primary care medical home initiatives. And North Carolina had the community care networks in which there was a really systematic way of really trying to coordinate care at the primary care level. And so it sort of became a horse race for the various states that we requested data from, and basically North Carolina came in first.
So you're looking for a kind of data that can allow you to make comparisons. States collect that. North Carolina collects it a little better because of this network, or may have more of the kind of stuff you're looking for because their community health centers are networked. Is that right?
Well, I think it having one of the networks as a feature was part of that. The problem with the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, which is called the BRFIS data for short, is that not all states collect all the fields that we need. And a couple of states did come in, but we just basically couldn't run the model off them.
So tell us what you found, Peter.
What we found was that when we're basically controlling for factors where we're really looking at apples to apples comparison. So, for example, we just try to sort of simulate a model in which a patient with the same kind of condition and socioeconomic status would come into either a health center or a non-health center and try to examine those cost differences. And what we found was, after all things considered, that health centers saved in overall healthcare expenditures, about $3,400 per user, per health center user, annually. When we look at simply at the ambulatory care expenses, it came to about $1,200 less per patient.
What do you think accounts for that, Brian?
Well, we're just focused on providing care to people who wouldn't normally get served. And we're also focused highly on our high-quality care. We're a Joint Commission credit organization. And we've always had to do more with less, and that's just part of our DNA.
So, and Peter, is that it? What else accounts for this lower cost? In other words, where are people going if they don't go to a community health center, and how is that, going those other places, increasing the cost of health care?
Well, I think they tend to go to emergency care rooms. They tend to go to places that are really sort of geared to doing more of the episodic and more costly care. I mean, I think a lot of the literature shows that health centers really try to capture patients and have them really go through the prevention mill of getting all the preventive services, managing their conditions. I think Brian alluded to some of the federal and state grants that come in, and that really helps to subsidize a lot of the care coordination that is not typically covered by third-party payers.
Brian, with all the efficiencies that you're talking about, can you do this without any government support?
No. So even though it's not a significant amount of our budget, it's significant enough that if we did not have this federal grant, we would not be in existence, nor would any other health center that I know about.
And to distinguish a CHC from, say, a free clinic, your staff are all paid.
That's right. And we're open. We have to be open 5 days a week. Minimally, our centers are open 6 days a week, and we have coverage and those kinds of things. So we have 46 providers, medical providers on our staff, which equates to about 35 FTEs of providers.
You are now the CEO of Piedmont Health. It has sites in 7 counties, been around for 40 years. Before that, you were the executive director of Geiger Gibson in Boston, which was the first community health center in the country. Give us an idea about the trajectory of CHCs, how they've changed, what you've learned over time.
So the first two health centers in the country were, one was in Boston, one was in Mount Bayou, Mississippi. The two docs were young docs, Count Gibson and Jack Geiger. They were at Tufts University, and they were also docs who were on the Freedom Rides. And so what they did was when they were in Mississippi, they decided they wanted to open up a place in that area. And when they got home to Tufts, they would open up in an urban area, rural area, and make that comparison. And from those two became 1,200. What is interesting to note is that up until 2000, there were only about 600 community health center organizations in the country. So it took 35 years to get to 600, but President Bush was the one who actually doubled for the first time the number of health centers in the country, and we went from 600 to 1,200 in 8 years. So we did in 8 years what took us 35 years before that.
Are these models for public health? Could this become a kind of a national health program?
So obviously we think so. When you really look at how we do disease management in a cost-effective way, as Peter's alluding to, the facts really speak for themselves. We've always enjoyed bipartisan support with Congress and presidents. What we get concerned with is that the baby will be thrown out with the bathwater in healthcare reform, and you just don't fix what's not broken. And health centers have been a foundation for a lot of the work that's happened in this country.
Well, and the way you're funded has changed as a result of comprehensive health care reform. Maybe you can explain that for us.
So it used to be that we would primarily focus on the federal grant and the federal grant only. Now we really have to be now focused on the federal grant as being a small part of our base and really focus on really doing high-quality care that everybody in the community want to come to. So we also add on our dental services and pharmacy services so that we make sure that when patients come, it's not that they just see a doctor to tell them what's wrong with them, but they can actually afford the medications that the doctor says will make you better.
But also those grants were separate grants. You went and applied for them. It was money sequestered in a different area. Now it's part of healthcare, which some people call Obamacare. It becomes a highly politically charged issue, and you're in that same legislation.
Right.
You weren't there before, so you could become part of what a lot of people seem not to like.
Well, that's exactly right. So our 7 counties actually cross 4 congressional districts. 2 are Republican, 2 are Democrat. We enjoy support from all 4 representatives, and they're not in the same place on the political spectrum. We just think we're one of the few things that actually everybody thinks is a great idea. We're just worried that in the enthusiasm to make change that people don't change what's working.
Peter Shin, you know, when we talked about when I talked to people about what was going to be on the show today, a lot of people said, well, they weren't surprised. But were was the level of savings a surprise to you? And has this been documented before, the fact that primary care costs go way down through community health centers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been well studied. It's been well documented. There's been other researchers that have done similar work, even in Colorado, where they looked at the Medicaid claims data, and they found that health center users for the Medicaid population was significantly lower, and they noticed that because they were less likely to use the emergency room. They were less likely to have readmissions or hospital admissions. So I think it's fairly well known, and I think one of the misconceptions has always been that health centers are sort of the providers of last resort. But I think a lot of the work around looking at the quality of care that health centers provide, in many cases, they really do become a provider of choice. And I think we're finding that even in Massachusetts, where the demand remains heavy, and the number of folks who are uninsured and now are newly insured are still turning back to go back to their health centers, and health centers are seeing even larger numbers of those who aren't necessarily coming to them.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program. Peter Shin, Associate Professor of Health Policy and Director of the Geiger-Gibson Program at George Washington University. Brian Toomey, CEO of Piedmont Health Services, Board Chair for the North Carolina Community Health Center Association. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just ahead, we talk about the nation's first inpatient psychiatric unit devoted to postpartum depression, just opened at UNC on the State of Things. Stay tuned.